Domini, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder, joined by our friend Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. Kristen, off the air, I just asked you a question, and your answer was priceless. I said, did you get to go to Lollapalooza? And your answer was?
I'm too old.
Too old.
I'm way too old for that scene.
Have you ever gone?
I've never gone, and I don't really have any desire to go. I like concerts. I'll go to a concert at United Center or, I'll go see Coldplay.
And, yeah.
The Lollapalooza thing, I don't think people understand how much it takes over the entire city.
Sure it does.
Unless you're here. And so I did walk down there on Friday and watched literally just the hordes of people going into Grant Park, and it was loud. And
it was cold on Friday.
And it was cold, and I'm way too grumpy.
Kevin, who is right smack dab, our producer Kevin is right smack dab in the middle of the target audience of Lollapalooza. Even he said, I can't, the crowds, and it's, who needs that?
It's
Isn't
too
that
much.
It's
gotten so much bigger too, and I think there's cost benefit questions about how much the city actually spends getting the park ready and with staff and.
But they don't publish those numbers, correct?
They don't. Well, I don't think they publish those numbers. But Jim DeRogatis has done a lot of. He's a rock critic here in the city, and he's done a lot of research. And the city never releases what the real economic impact is on the good side. You know, here's the spike in hotel rooms. Here's how many restaurants. And maybe that's just hard to measure.
Right.
But there are parts of Grant Park that take a year to recover from the destruction
really?
Of Lollapalooza. And you have to remember, that is a city park.
Yeah.
It's not private land where, like Milwaukee, if you've ever gone to Summerfest, they have an area set aside for that.
Right.
So, I mean, as taxpayers, we own that. And if it does have such great economic impact, I'd love to see those numbers, because why are my property taxes continuing to skyrocket
sure.
for the park district and the city and everything else?
Right.
That's a great question. And, you know, I think, God, they make so much money at Lollapalooza, but it goes to the concert promoters mainly.
It does, and there have been some questions. Again, this is from a WTTW story from some of the reporting that Jim has done. But basically, there's a relationship between the mayor and he's written some stories about cozy relationships, because the company that jointly owns Lollapalooza has ties to the mayor and the mayor's brother, and there are still questions every year as to how much the city is getting and whether we should be getting more out of this huge event, which...
It's still good for the city, isn't it, though? I mean, it's...
There's a prestige standpoint that's good. There's got to be some tourism benefit. There has to be.
Only 12 arrests in the first 2 days.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, there has to be an economic impact. I mean, all these kids, we're sitting in the studio and you saw people wandering around downtown. They're shopping, they're
right.
going to restaurants, they're staying somewhere. But it's just strange that I don't know that we've ever been able to trust and gotten just a straight up and down impact of what the festival is.
Are they more secretive about these numbers than they are with things like Chicago Fest or the Air and Water Show or Venetian Night? All those, are those easy to find, like the economic impact that the city has from those?
Or
is it about the same?
I feel like we've learned more about Taste of Chicago, because even when it was losing money for a while, we sort of knew that
yeah.
it was losing money. And it could be that the numbers are just hard to track. But there's also a case, one of my friends in television broadcast recently tweeted something out, and he was referencing a Cranes article by Greg Hines, who covers politics, where Greg said, I got duped by the mayor's office again
mm-hmm.
regarding budget numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a problem that you do feel like you're always being spun by the mayor's office. So even when there's good news, you wonder if you can trust what the numbers are that the mayor's office is putting out there.
Malia Obama was there. Did anybody see her rocking out?
I didn't. I saw that there were tweets about it, and I think she's gone the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for her. She can't go anywhere without somebody videotaping
sure.
her.
I know. And she was just trying to watch The Killers.
Right.
The headline, there's a video, and you can get it at TMZ. That's who's
of course,
doing it. It's Rockin'
right.
Obama.
I like the name.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you say in the future? What could they do, should they do, to make this a little more transparent so that we know what exactly is what? Is there a way to go about doing that?
I mean, maybe just a really clear before and after press conference. And if it is losing money, or if we need to renegotiate contracts with some of these vendors, let's have that discussion. I'm just kind of hoarding of public parkland being used for something that, as a taxpayer, it's unclear to me what the benefit is to me as a taxpayer.
Kristen McQuarrie says, hey, get off my lawn.
I know. I am. It's so true. I walked down there on Friday when I mentioned I was watching all the people coming through. And I listened to music a lot while I'm walking around the city. And I literally had like Stevie Wonder and probably some 50s tunes. And I'm too old for that type of activity in the city.
Do we want to take this call?
Sure.
All right, Chuck's on the line. What's up, Chuck? I love when people say that.
How you guys doing? I love your show.
Thanks, Chuck.
I was going to say, you know, up in Milwaukee, they have Festival Park, which is a beautiful park. They have the land right along the lakefront. And Milwaukee does not have maybe as much money as here in Chicago, well, now Brook County, I guess we can call it. Wouldn't it be nice if we can build a park, something like that, where we don't have to tear down and set up all the time and destroy the land and just have it easy flow, easy in, easy out?
And think of all the fests we actually have here. There's Blues Fest, Jazz Fest. It would be nice to have some set place that it happens all the time.
Right. I think that's what we don't really know, is how much city workers are having to pay, or whoever they contract with for security and for cleanup, what sort of, you know, cost that really has to Chicagoans.
Good idea, Chuck.
All right, no problem. Have a good day.
You would also need, you're talking about a huge tract of land to make this work.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that would be.
Soldier Field, nobody's using it.
Nobody's using it.
Let's corral them all over there.
I like
that. I'll be there Thursday.
All right, let's take a quick break and then more with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We're talking with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune, and we're talking about a whole bunch of things. Did we want to switch gears?
Yeah, you know what I'm curious about is, you know, Donald Trump's presidency has
been... He's president?
Yeah, he became president, Wendy, in November. He won the election. This is a strange story. All right, so now there's been some talk that some Republicans are already looking to the next election, in which case you have the possibility of it being Trump versus Pence. And I'm fascinated by this. What do you make out of all this?
Well, there was a story, I think, in yesterday's New York Times that Mike Pence has started already gearing up for a race against Trump in 2020.
He's distancing himself a little bit. There's been a lot of things that I thought, well, at some point they'll ask Mike Pence what he thinks about this. And it's not happening.
No, I mean, he put out a statement, which he rarely does, Mike Pence, calling the story, you know, a complete fabrication, that he has no intention to run against Donald Trump, that he is proud, we're making America great again. And I think part of that is when you are the vice president, your job is to protect the president.
Yeah.
And the second you put any sort of a wedge between those two roles, it could be detrimental, not just to the presidency, but to the country.
Right.
So he is someone, you'll recall, Donald Trump had a hard time even finding a running mate. So Mike Pence already has risked his whole credibility by running with him and now serving as his vice president. So he's going to stay on that train for it, unless something really dramatic happens.
Couldn't it have been a brilliant strategy from day one for whoever advised him to say, Mike, take the job because most of America isn't aware of you? And they weren't.
And we weren't.
If you lived in Indiana, you knew who he was. But with the exception of Indiana, very few people had Mike Pence on their radar. So somebody could have said to him, this is such a great career move. Just take the job and lay low. Just be in the office of vice president. And that's it. Don't agree. Don't disagree. Just get your name out there. Wouldn't that have been a smart strategy?
Yes. And that's partly probably why he ended up being the 16th or 17th person who the Trump campaign approached. And he finally said yes. But also, because Trump has been so volatile, Mike Pence really is risking everything by he did when he ran with him, and he is now by serving under him. But I think he understands that for the good of the country, he cannot in any way at this moment be seen as someone who's willing to run against Trump. Now, that doesn't mean other campaigns aren't up and running. They are. I was at the Republican convention last year, so this would have been August of 2016 when Trump was nominated, but before he was elected. And so all those other Republicans had already been bumped out, like Scott Walker, Rand Paul. They were already gearing up to campaign then. So, like, you had Scott Walker holding fundraisers, talking a little bit about 2020. Those, you will see a lot of those names come back on the Ted Cruz's, the people who ran against Trump for the nomination. But the idea of the vice president creating some sort of a visual, even that he's being disloyal to the president, would be bad. And so he batted the story away and says it's all, you know, a fabrication.
Bill, it's true that I didn't know who Mike Pence was prior to this, and many didn't.
Sure.
But then you have people that are so outraged by Donald Trump being the president that would sway negatively towards Mike Pence. Like, any guy who's going to serve under Trump, I don't want.
Yeah.
Conversely, if he does want to do his own thing, there's a lot of people that do not like Donald Trump that would go, oh, man, I would totally be for him.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely he's getting his name out there. But I don't know. Even though I know who he is, I don't know that I'd ever vote for him.
Well, right. And I think in the timing of this story, when we're also learning that there is, in fact, a grand jury looking into the case of Russian connections, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, now you've moved on.
Not according to Donald Trump.
Well, of
though.
Course not. Of course not. It's all a witch hunt. And,
right.
You know, they're expanding the scope of the investigation beyond their legal right by looking into his finances, which I think is all ridiculous. Your finances are ground zero in an investigation into everything that you do and whatever connections you might have. And we also don't know. The grand jury might not be looking at Trump as a target. We've actually heard they're not. So it could be his associates, you know, the Paul Manafort, the Carter Nelsons, Michael Flynn, people who around him were maybe trying to profit or drive, you know, have big conflicts of interest during the campaign and shortly after he won. So, but in the context of all of that going on, to have this story that maybe Mike Pence is waiting in the wings, I think was damaging, really damaging to Trump in a way that Mike Pence understood, and that's why he came out so strongly against the story.
I can't remember the exact situation, but very early on, after Mike Pence signed on to be the vice presidential candidate, Trump said something, and the reason it's so hard for me to remember is because he has said so many things that are kind of questionable. But they went to Mike Pence and go, "What do you make of what Donald Trump just said?" And he goes, "Oh, you know, sometimes Donald just says stuff. You know, he just kind of shrugged it off."
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, "That's going to be the blueprint of the next 4 years for him. Anytime they go to him with any question, he's going to go, that's the way Donald Trump operates. He just says stuff."
And he's defended him, right? I mean, he's defended Trump whenever asked. He also, as to your point, has kind of stayed out of the limelight. When I said that he issued a press release about this New York Times story, very uncommon. He has not been out in front. He doesn't join he stands in the background at some of these rallies, but you don't see him even really introducing the president anymore.
Right.
So I don't know what there probably is a group that is preparing to. If something happens with Trump, if he does get impeached or there's a forced removal or something, there has to be a succession plan. It would be Mike Pence. And so maybe the news reporter got wind of all of that is going on. But the idea that Mike Pence right now be talking about running against Donald Trump in 2020 feels like
premature.
A stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there is some kind of impeachment process that's going to happen, which I don't think it will, isn't Mike Pence kind of guilty of some of this, too? Has it ever been thought of that maybe they both could get removed from office? And then what do we do? And I know you're looking at me crazily, but...
This is my concentration phase.
Oh, okay, because I'm just saying some of these things that sound like they will never happen have already happened.
Oh, sure. No, and you're right. We don't really know. We know that Pence felt that he was lied to by Michael Flynn, and that's why Michael Flynn was removed. But we don't know what rooms maybe Mike Pence was in when discussions were happening. We don't know if Mike Pence has been deposed as part of this Russia investigation, whether some of his records have been subpoenaed. We really don't know. All of this is very undercover at this moment. So, but to your point, anything could happen. He could get dragged into this too. So far, he hasn't. But you never know with this group.
Anytime people try to predict who the next presidential candidates will be for the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, we're more than 3 years removed from that next election. It's so premature to even guess who the top candidate would be because so many things happen in the interim between now and that election cycle. It's almost impossible. I mean,
It is impossible. You can't. I mean, we had, I think the Republicans were there 21 or 22 candidates initially who were in the race? Who would have guessed Donald Trump would be the nominee? If he survives the next 2.5 years, he is going to be the nominee. It's very unlikely that someone would be able to topple a sitting president. That said, the people who came closest, those are always the names of, you know, Mitt Romney ran three times?
Yeah. Was it three?
I think it was three.
Wow.
Yeah. You will probably hear more about the Ted Cruzes and maybe even the Scott Walkers, the governor from Wisconsin, you know, at least toying with the idea of getting back in.
But when a president's approval rating is in the low 30 percentile, doesn't that make the party say, boy, if we want to continue and have another Republican president, we have to consider our options? Do you think the whole party would back Donald Trump even though he's been president? You get the feeling that with this kind of an approval rating, they would go in a different direction, don't you?
If he's doing that poorly, perhaps. But again, we're so early into his term that it's hard to predict what his approval ratings are. And he, you know, those are just fake,
right,
Bill? Those approval ratings, all those polls, he only believes the polls that
that are favorable
to him.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. So far he has been able to keep, even though it wobbles, he's able to keep that little collection of his base and Republican members of the House and Senate to stick with him.
Yes.
You know, they're trying to get their policy positions through. They want health care reform. They want tax reform. So they're still hanging on.
Right.
But if all of them turn, that would be really problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kristen McQuarrie writes for the Chicago Tribune. Read her whenever you can. Thank you for stopping by. Greatly appreciated. A quick break, then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.